This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. Fama ba'du. My brothers and sisters, there is something worse than not having eyesight. It is not having vision. There is something worse than not having sight, and that is not having vision. History teaches one critical lesson, and that lesson is only those who contribute are valued. Only they have leverage, only they are influential, and only they have power. Their religion or ethnicity doesn't matter. What matters is their contribution on a local or global scale. The world works on one overarching principle: what's in it for me? I call it WIIFM. I sometimes say there's one FM station that everybody in the world listens to, and that's called WIIFM. This applies to individuals, it applies to people, it applies to countries, it applies to the whole world. That's how it was, and that is how it is. Our belief, our religion, our personal acts of worship, all of these add value to us individually. Because if we work for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, then He will, insha'Allah, reward us in the Akhirah, and He will put barakah in our work in this life. But as far as the world is concerned, it doesn't matter what we believe. If we contribute, we are valued. When we stop contributing, no matter what we did in the past, we are discarded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." Linnas, not minannas. Ukhrijat linnas. Ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "You are the best people, the best community ever raised for humanity. You encourage good, you forbid evil, and you believe in Allah." To help us understand, let me ask you to list the top three universities, libraries, research laboratories, factories, hospitals, or the top three things that you use every day without which life would be impossible or terribly inconvenient. You may like to start with your cell phone, go to Google, go to Siri, right? And so on and so on. And then ask, which of these is made by a Muslim company or is in a Muslim country? Ask this question: if the world wakes up tomorrow and all Muslims and signs of Muslims and Islam, including all contributions of present-day Muslims. I'm not talking about people who contributed in the 10th century and the 12th century. I'm talking about people today. All contribution of present-day Muslims have vanished from the earth. They wake up in the morning, there are no Muslims, no sign of Muslims. And all contributions of Muslims, of present-day Muslims, are gone. What do you think will be lost for the others? What do you think they will say? Who will mourn our passing? Will anyone come out to the street shouting, "Bring back the Muslims, bring back the Muslims"? I ask myself and I ask you to ask yourself, what is our contribution to the world today? As a community, as Muslims, what is our contribution to the world today? We are net consumers, not contributors in any field. Contributors are valued, consumers are used. And that is why nobody cares about us. The purpose of history is to learn from it. In 1631, the foundation of a building was laid in India. It was completed in 1653. In 1636, that is, 4 or 5 years after the first building was started, The foundation of another building was laid in America, across the world from India. Today, both buildings exist. The first was built by a man whose personal wealth, his net worth, was equal to 25% of world GDP of the time. The second was founded by a Puritan priest. The first has two occupants, both dead. The second continues to contribute leaders to every walk of life in the world and to influence society in profound and lasting ways. It has an endowment of $50.7 billion, the biggest endowment of any education institution in the world, and has the biggest library in the world. That's the story of Taj Mahal and Harvard University. There's a difference between building structures and building people. That's why worse than not having sight is not having vision. That is why I want us to think about the way forward. What must change with us? What must we focus on from today? The Abbasi Khilafah ended in 1258, and the Umayyad Khilafah in Andalus, in Spain, ended in 1492, when Ferdinand and Isabella expelled Muslims from Spain. After that, there were three great Muslim empires in the world, in India, in Iran, and in Europe: the Mughal Empire, the Safavid Empire, and the Ottoman Empire. But they left no mark of their passing except magnificent ruins. No discoveries, no libraries, no universities, no hospitals, no new technology, no great books, no philosophy, only palaces and magnificent masajid, only buildings, magnificent tombs. That is why others have the world and we have the tombs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur said, which means Allah has promised those of you who believe and do good that He will certainly make them successors in the land. He will give them hukuma, He will give them sultan, He will give them power in the land, as He did with those before them, and will surely establish for them their faith. He will establish them in their faith and establish the faith for them, which He has chosen for them, which is Islam, and will indeed change their fear, the state of fear into a state of aman, state of fear into a state of security, provided that they worship me, associating nothing with me, provided they worship only Allah and do not associate with Allah. But whoever disbelieves after this promise, it is they who will be the rebellious. We understand that success comes from Allah alone, and that is dependent on our obedience to Him. So let's get that sorted out first. Earn halal, eat halal. Then it means starting out with grassroots social work in our neighborhoods, in towns and cities. It means knowing our neighbors, helping them and participating in neighborhood and town projects. It means being genuinely concerned about others, not only Muslims, but others who are different from us in every way, but are still our neighbors. Why is there a Jewish family service, a welcoming alliance for refugee ministry, warm, Catholic charities, parish cupboard, but no equivalent Muslim organization? Ask yourself this question, why? Sure, we support some of these with some annual donation. But that's not the point I'm talking about, is it? If you want to know where we stand as a community on this index, simply see how many of us turn up for our interfaith programs. How many come for the hunger walk or the town cleanup? Or even how many of us know the names of our neighbors, including those who pray with us daily? How many of us vote? The truth is that you can only change a system from within, which means to participate. Today, perhaps the biggest problem we have is that we are misunderstood by others and we face Islamophobia and hostile media. The surest and most powerful cure for that is to let people meet us and see real live Muslims every day in our daily transactions with them. This is the whole philosophy of interfaith work. It is not meant to convert anybody. It is to give them a template, an alternate face to match against whatever they have been hearing. And that's the reason why it's so important. It's only when people meet face to face and get to talk and ask questions and clarify doubts that misunderstandings get resolved. The idea is to give others a template to compare against when they hear negative things about Muslims. You want them to say, now wait a minute, I have a Muslim friend and he's not like that, she's not like that at all. I'm going to ask him or her about what you said. Or, let's go meet them. Meet a real live, living Muslim instead of listening to propaganda. This is what the Sahaba did. Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. They didn't live in isolation, in enclaves. They went out into the world and traded with people and made friends, but maintained their own standards and principles. They didn't change the deen. That is what changed society and brought people to Islam. We must stop being isolationist and showcase Islam. It will require hard work, tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night, constant learning, the ability to work across differences and seek unity, and loads of patience. It will require putting others ahead of yourself, going out of your way to help people, the courage to stand up for the oppressed, to give a voice to the voiceless and visibility to those who are ignored. Ask how many times have we raised funds for Black Lives Matter, for BLM causes, or gone out in protests when the oppressed were not Muslim. Believe me, it's not a one-way street. If we want others to stand up for us, we must stand up for others. The harsh reality is that we don't. Justice will not be established until those who are not affected by injustice are willing to stand up for those who are. Let me repeat that. Justice will not be established unless those who are not affected by injustice are willing to stand up for those who are. Because when the truth must be spoken, silence is culpable. We all know the ayah of Surah An-Nisa where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, كُنُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَبِي الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَىٰ بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَنْ تَعْدِلُوا وَإِنْ تَلُوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O believers, stand firm for justice as witnesses for Allah, even if it is against yourselves or your parents or your close relatives, be they rich or poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best to account for them. So do not let your desires cause you to deviate from justice. If you distort testimony, your witness, or refuse to give it, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is certainly all aware of what you do. It means training ourselves to have an iron control on our emotions, because it is intellect and not emotion that is necessary to solve problems. It will require the ability to think clearly, to think critically, to communicate powerfully, and to write inspiringly. For this, you must read widely and deeply. Let me ask you, what books have you read in the last 12 months, in the last 1 year? For our youth, it means you need to study law, political science, sociology, mass communication, media studies, and history. It means learning more than one language, developing social skills and manners, learning to negotiate, strict discipline, and total commitment to the goal. It means to stop living in our echo chambers and participate. It means making the tough choice when getting a great education, not to take a plush job in Microsoft, but to enter politics. It means that the community must chip in and say, we will support our son or daughter and pay them what they gave up by not taking that job. Because to have one of our people in the Senate is more important than to have them in Microsoft. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the laws of the world, and one of them is, result is proportionate to investment. We need to put our money where our mouths are and get out of the magic mindset. I call it the magic mindset, where we want things to happen for us in our favor magically, without our effort. It means setting up a fund to send our youth into politics. It is legal, it is essential, and inshallah it will be a sadaqah jariyah for those who participate in it. It means attending Senate and House sessions as a spectator with at least as much interest as you attend Super Bowl. It means attending local court sessions, not because you are in the box, but as a spectator and looking forward to jury duty, not trying to escape from it. It means volunteering at your local police and fire stations and mayor's offices. It means volunteering in your local schools and getting elected to school boards and city offices. We have people here who have children and grandchildren studying in these schools, but not a single one of you is on the school boards. And then you complain that the children are not given time to pray, then they don't have a place to do this, and the halal food in the cafeteria and so on. It is not magic. It won't happen by itself. If you don't want to make the effort for that to happen, how is it going to happen? It means writing to your local newspaper, or even better, starting another newspaper. All this takes time, make consistent effort and funding according to a plan. We need to put our money where our mouths are. It is a long-haul strategy, and so the sooner we start, the sooner we will see success. It will need the ability to work with people who are different from us, but who share our concerns and problems. It requires tolerance, openness, inclusiveness, and the ability to work across boundaries. It requires great confidence in our religion and culture, and the ability to teach others about it in a non-defensive, non-apologetic, and respectful manner. It means to remember that Islam doesn't need to be changed. We need to change ourselves and live by it. Islam is a way of life that is totally relevant today. It means setting up Islamic schools of a global standard where children of all communities will be welcome and will study a global curriculum in an Islamic atmosphere, practicing Islamic ethics and values. That is the most powerful way to showcase what Islam means in real life. Let people taste its sweetness. Let people benefit from it. Then you don't have to convince anyone. Rasulullah was a teenager when he went with his uncle Abu Talib to the meeting where the treaty of Al-Hilf al-Fudul was made. It was a treaty between the leaders of Makkah, all of whom were not Muslim. And Rasulullah was not a signatory to the treaty, he was just a spectator. Yet the importance of justice is such that he held himself to the treaty just because justice was so dear to him. In Medina, he said, if anyone invokes that treaty today, I will support him. Decades after the treaty was signed, Islam does not distinguish between Muslim and non-Muslim in the matter of justice. Justice is to give everyone their rights, no matter who they might be. To this, we must hold ourselves accountable. It means educating ourselves on issues of justice, injustice, racism, oppression, and rights violations in all aspects, and learning strategies to combat them. The truth is that we Muslims are not the first and are not even the most oppressed of people. But let us work to ensure that we are the last. We are very good at firefighting and mobilizing disaster relief, but not when it comes to investment in initiatives that operate on the principle of never again. Firefighting is necessary, but fire prevention is much better. From entry to the corridors of power, from the entry point when you enter the profession to the corridors of power is a 30-year journey. That's two generations. That means if you want to save your children from slavery, you must start now. The truth is that the world is saying to us, put up or shut up. Stop talking about Islam. Show us Islam. The time is now. So ask, if not now, then when? If not me, then who? Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.